Front page dramas present Even Polite Crime Doesn't Pay. This week's front page drama, Even Polite Crime Doesn't Pay, is a dramatization of the true life story entitled Her 21-Hour Ride with Gentlemen Kidnappers, to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the largest circulation in the world, distributed free with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. It happened in St. Louis. That is, things began happening in St. Louis. The symphony was over, and Daniel Cox Fahey, an architect, was driving his charming companion, Miss Peggy Gross, home in the Fahey motor car. Then he stopped at a traffic signal.
Don't start the car.
Get off that fender, please.
This is a stick-up. Okay, we go along. Now, I'd suggest you drive over to the curb and stop this buggy before you and the lady get hurt.
What do you want with us?
You two climb in the back and be quiet. These guns are temperamental. Sometimes they fly off the handle.
If it's a robbery, why don't you take what we have?
Get in and shut up.
We don't want your money.
What's the idea? What do you intend doing with us?
Nothing at all. We just need your car for a little transportation. We have to take you along so it won't be reported stolen till we're through with it. Nice pickup, John, huh?
Yeah. If you really mean that, we'll go along quietly.
Is that supposed to be a concession?
Well...
Don't let him ride you. He has a bad disposition. What's your name?
Mine's Dan Fahey.
And the lady?
Well, hers is...
Peggy. What's yours?
Mine's Jack. The gentleman on my right is John. A little bashful among strangers. But after you know him, he has a heart of gold.
Down on the floor, both of you.
Oh, Dan, what are we going to do?
Nothing right now, Peggy. The bad-tempered one with a heart of gold is pointing a muzzle of steel right at us.
What's the matter?
They're passing an intersection with several cops. They're taking no chances.
Oh, they're smart. Are you college men?
Well, in a way, I went as far as the sixth grade in public schools.
Oh.
But I really owe my career to my pal John here. We graduated from the big house at about the same time.
The big house?
The penitentiary.
Yeah, Jefferson City. We graduated only last year. Already we're not doing bad. Look at that roll of bills.
Oh.
Of course, you may find out that there's only a measly $500 reward offered for our capture. But that's not so bad, is it? $500?
$500?
Like to have it? Try to turn us in and you can leave it to your heirs.
Thanks. It doesn't appeal to me.
You look like a couple of swell kids. You can't always beat the law in this work.
We expect it. It's all in the game.
But this is kidnapping. And since you've already crossed a state line, it comes under the Lindbergh law.
So what?
Call it off. Climb out of the car, and we'll go home and forget about it.
Forget us? Hey, are we that dull? Could you really do that?
The Lindbergh law is tough on kidnappers.
Okay. An aviator expects to crack up and knows that may mean the end. A soldier, he's almost sure he'll never get back. And we know we'll get ours. So what?
Well, it's your business, but it isn't worth it. You always lose eventually.
Okay. You fix it up with the cops not to pop me in the head. I want to look nice when I'm laid out.
You aren't starting that again.
I just don't want to be shot in the head.
Say, how long have we been driving?
Why?
I just wondered.
4 hours, about.
I'm getting hungry.
The lady's hungry. That's a good idea. Shall we eat?
What are you stopping for?
You take the lady and gentleman and go up this side road. While I drive back to that lunch wagon we passed a while ago. See if I can get something to satisfy the lady's appetite.
Okay. Come on, get out. Scram.
I'll be right back.
And a few minutes later, Jack was back from a roadside lunch wagon they had passed shortly before. He had with him hot dogs, barbecue, coffee, soda pop, and some fruit.
Well, this is really something.
At your service, madam. I'm sorry we have no lobster or roast turkey, and the caviar isn't fresh, so what'll it be? Hot dogs or barbecued pork?
I'll take the barbecue.
Okay. One barbecue with pickle up.
Please.
Here's napkins. What about you gentlemen?
I'll take barbecue.
Right. That means you'll take a hot dog, John.
I don't want hot dog.
After all, they're company, John. I just got two of each. Hot dog.
Anything to drink?
Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. Soda pop or coffee, orange, and root beer.
Orange.
Root beer. Now, wait a minute. I don't want coffee.
We're the host, John.
Yeah, you can be funny if you want to. We're running this show, and I'm drinking what I want. I'll take the root beer. And, mister, you can take coffee or go dry, see?
Coffee's okay.
Nasty temper. But he makes a good kidnapper. Here, miss, I'll open the orange.
Oh, thanks.
Let's be moving on. We have a long way to go tonight.
Yeah, probably that's a good idea.
Where are you taking us?
What do you care? Get in.
And they did get in. Then Dan and Peggy began to be worried. They had been driving northward for hours, and it seemed funny that anyone should kidnap a couple in St. Louis to get a car to do a job as far north as they were going. Finally, Peggy decided to try tears in the hope that they would be released. Peggy let Dan in on her plans. But a half hour later, with no indication of a weeping spell on the part of Peggy, brought Dan's query.
What about the tears, Peggy? I thought...
I'm trying to, but it isn't easy to turn on the tears.
Those fellows may turn around and use one of those guns any minute.
Oh, don't say that.
Maybe their Confederates are out scaring your mother now, demanding a ransom. Your mother may be prostrate with fear for you.
Mother? Oh, I never thought... Why don't you let us go? Why don't you just stop and let us out? We can't do you any good.
Hey, shut up.
Well, why don't you let us out? We can't help you. I want to get out and go home.
Shut up. Did you hear me?
She's crying, fellow. She's going to pieces. She can't stand the strain.
She better pull herself together. And quick, too, or there'll be trouble.
Peggy.
I'm not going to tell you again. Shut up.
You better, Peggy.
I can't.
It's no use, Peggy. He's just getting sore. Better cut down on the tears.
I can't, really. It was hard starting, but now I can't stop. I can't.
And so Peggy had a good cry. A few hours later, near Minneapolis, Minnesota, the strange ride reached its climax.
All right, now. We're pulling the job here. You can either get out and be tied up for a few hours while we get away, or if you want, and you aren't scared, you can come with us.
We'll get out.
You don't want to have a little adventure?
We'll get out.
We're going to miss you.
Wait a minute. What about the woods up there? How's that for a place to park them?
Looks okay.
Not too far back, fellows. We might not be found until it was too late.
What do you want us to do? Put a sign up pointing you out to the tourists?
And so about 75 feet back from the road, Peggy Gross and Dan Fahey were securely bound with wire, hand and foot. Dan also was gagged, but Peggy was left without a gag, and only a warning to make no sound for at least an hour. But no crook is so clever that he makes no mistake. And Dan Fahey had wisely held his feet a little apart as his ankles were bound, so that it was only a few minutes after the kidnappers had departed before his feet were free. Two cars passed on the road, paying no heed to Dan's signal for help. In the third car was a friendly farmer.
Hello. Hello there. Help. We need help. Help.
Hello. I seen your signal there.
Oh, thanks. I'm still bound.
What?
My hands are bound, see? Kidnappers. Tied us up with wire. See my friend? She's over there.
Right. Looks like a girl.
Yes, it is a girl. We're from St. Louis. Have you got any wire snippers? Well, just pliers will do, I guess.
Well, you sure this ain't no trick?
I know I don't blame you. Here, leave me tied while you help her. We've been kidnapped, I tell you.
That's so. Well, I guess you have. Oh, we'll fix it all right with these pliers here. They cut wire.
We're coming, Peggy. It's going to be all right.
A few hours later, long-distance telephone calls to frantic parents in St. Louis assured them everything was all right, and then the law went to work. The trail was hot. The G-men were determined to wipe out kidnapping, and so no delay was allowed to slow the course of justice. The first step was identification. This came after hours of pictures. Young men, old men, Americans, foreigners, any who might possibly be suspected of kidnapping.
There, that's one.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Yes, that's Jack, all right.
Jack, eh? Well, if this is one...
And there's the other, the surly one.
John, there they are. They're your men, officer.
There isn't a doubt in the world. I looked at that face for over 20 hours to photograph it in my mind. That's Jack and that's John.
We've been chasing them for some time.
And you haven't caught up with them yet?
Yeah. We caught up with them outside of Fort Worth, Texas, some time ago.
Texas?
They were with a couple of girls, hitchhikers. They've been taking the girls around the country, we found out.
Well, did they get away?
Yeah, they shot their way out of the trap. They left the girls behind.
That must have been just before they came to St. Louis.
Yeah,
and the fellows got away. All you got were the girls, which didn't do you much good, I guess, huh?
I think they're going to help us catch the fellows.
You think they'll go back to find the girls?
Nah, they didn't give a hoot about them.
Well, then how can they help you?
One of the guys is married.
What difference does that make?
Well, a crook has a funny mind. He doesn't mind causing other people heartache, anguish. He doesn't mind seeing them die, either physically or mentally, to satisfy his ego and commit his crime. But when his own life is involved, he's a yellow coward.
I guess I don't follow.
Well, break the story in the press about finding these gals they've been riding around the country with. I've got a hunch that will send the married one sneaking home to tell his wife it's all bunk. And when he goes, we'll be ready for him.
And that's what did happen. The story of the girls being arrested in Texas and their confession of going around the country with Jack and John was published in the newspapers. And John went home to calm his wife's jealousy. Jack went with him, but they walked into a trap.
Stop! You're covered!
Run, John! Run!
Stop! Don't shoot! Don't shoot! Don't shoot!
Okay, kidnapper. You thought you couldn't beat us. You'll get life for this.
I didn't do nothing.
No, and you aren't going to do nothing from now on. Take him back to the car.
Back out, thank God.
I'll go see if we got the guy who ran. Hey, looks like we got him, too. Well, Jack, you got a little of that medicine you've been dishing out to innocent people since you got out of the big house in Missouri. So you didn't want to be shot in the head. Well, you weren't, if that makes any difference now.
With death for one and life imprisonment for the other, the G-men closed another kidnapping case. There is no extenuating circumstances for any crime. Even kid glove kidnappers share the same fate as all the others. Even Polite Crime Doesn't Pay, the front page drama you have just heard, was a radio dramatization of her 21-hour ride with gentlemen kidnappers, which is to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the nation's reading habit. The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, is distributed each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Join the millions of Americans who each Sunday find the maximum of reading enjoyment in the entertaining, educational, and up-to-the-minute stories, articles, and feature fiction by the world's best writers featured in every issue of the American Weekly. The magazine distributed each Sunday with your Hearst Sunday newspaper.